And Job, oh, you know, when's he gonna stop this belly aching about what's going on in his life, you know? But you see, people, I mean, when you're outside looking in, and, you know, people say, well, they should be over their grief by now. They should be moving on with their life. When are they going to stop bemoaning? Well, that's kind of how some people, well, Job's friends will eventually make it there. But I always say people's pain is what they say it is. Okay? If somebody says they're in pain, they're in pain. You know, I know people, the families and so on, say, oh, you know, they're just bellyaching, they just want medication. You know, it's like, well, if they're in pain, they need it, you know? And how do you know if they hurt or not? Well, they are always asking for it. It's like, okay. Do you give them pain medication? Does it go away? They stop asking? Yeah, but then they want it again. Duh. So, not being able to understand and not being able to see through some things and to be able to allow people to be who they are. Well, Job here he's lamenting, one of the things about the book of Job is you have sequences of, you know, it isn't like you're in a discussion, okay? You're in a discussion and you and I are having a discussion about Job. So I say something, you say something, somebody else says something, and we come back and say, you know, and go around Robin and, you know, do this. Well, in the book of Job, it's more like Job has a discussion. And he says everything that, you know, the Moses here puts this all together in kind of one long scene, if it were a play. The first character comes out and gives a long discourse. Now, the discourse that they're giving is sometimes in response to the question that's yet to come up. You know, it hasn't come up yet, but he's not going back and forth between Job to Bildad and then Bildad to Job and Job, you know, back and forth. No. It's like a discourse that he presents everything, and then say the next friend has their discourse of what's going on. And sometimes there's a, you know, interaction between the four of them. But one of the other things I didn't realize is probably there's an audience. Okay? So people have gathered around the ash heap, the garbage dump. People have gathered around the garbage dump to hear Job and his discourse about why he lost everything. And of course, these three visitors, now, three people come from three different countries to visit Job and to offer their opinion as if they are the wise men of the East or the West or wherever they're from. They've come to offer their discourse. Well, you know, so people have gathered. They've gathered around. So you can imagine they've been sitting on the ash heap for 7 days and nights and nobody's talking. Okay? So people are saying, hey, There's four of them now out on the ash heap, and let's go see what they have to say. They get there, and there's no conversation. So they tell more people, they're bound to speak sometime, you know, so the crowd gets bigger, all right? So you have Job then, at this point, discussing this with his three friends. So in a previous lesson, we know that we consider the second test of Job, which was his physical affliction. You know, the first one was he lost everything, you know. His animals and his children, his home, everything that was of value to him, it's all gone. Now, and Job says, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? So Job is recognizing the provision of God. And sometimes that's hard to see when we live in the fog. Yeah. Sometimes when we live in the clouds, we can't see, you know, what's around us. But you can't see the tree for the fog. Yeah. So. But we do live with our own eyes. We live with our own perceptions. And what's good to one person is not necessarily good to another. And, you know, for people who live, you know, like in Central America and New Mexico, when they're trying to invade the borders, well, people in the United States, they have it good. Now, they have it poor. And the poverty that they have and the constant threat of their life, you know, their lives being taken by gangs and whatever, you know, it's just like they try to come someplace. Of course, there's the bad guys who try to get in too because they recognize it's easier to steal here than in other places because other places they kill them, you know. You know, and you may not even be guilty and they kill you. But so we have it good. And they come here and people do come and they want to work, you know. And so whatever. One little thing. In Saudi Arabia, if, you know, the Saudis, that Kuwait. The Kuwaitis, you know, they have all that oil and all that stuff. Well, the Kuwaitis receive parts, I guess, there's like a, you know, the monies that come in from all the oil, a part, every family gets some, okay? So all of them receive money, so they basically have, they don't work. They pay other people to come in and work for them. So generally, now I can be wrong, somebody's watching this and knows that it's wrong, okay, it's wrong. But from people that I've spoken with that live there, the Saudis, the Kuwaitis, they don't have to work because they have the money. So they pay people, immigrants from other countries come in and they pay them to work for them. Okay? So they have it good. So people in other countries think we have the same thing. There's a division of wealth and the government pays us to live here. So anyhow. So the first two tests that faced Job were external. They were direct attacks on his wealth, his possession, his family, and his health. After the test, Job laid bare before God, seemingly stripped of all the blessings that he had received, and with nothing left to distract him, Job began a sorrowful introspection that led him to lament the day he was born. So he is lamenting. He is remembering with disdain the day that he was born. And now, the commentary is apt to put on it, that because Job laments the day that he's born is not meaning that he's cursing God or that he no longer trusts God. Instead, his sorrow is revealed in the depth of pain and anguish from his losses. Okay? So we can be sorrowful that we have lost certain things, but it doesn't mean we've lost our trust in God. It just means that, you know, it's like when someone is grieving the death of a spouse or a child or whatever, that that person is in heaven, but they're not with them. So they're lamenting their loss, but they're not saying their loved one is not happy in heaven. And they're not lamenting or grieving that there's eternal life. They're grieving that the person is not with them. So this is what we see going on here with Job. So, but with death, the same way here with Job, he doesn't understand. That's what we're looking at. That he doesn't understand why things happen. Okay? That's us. We don't understand why things happen the way they do. We just have to trust that God knows what he's doing and we continue to speak our trust. Even though we've experienced a loss, we still speak our trust that God is our provider and God will take care of us and God will take care of our future. So, after this opening, okay, verse 1, after this, open Job his mouth. Right, you know. So, Job began to speak and cursed his day. So, after this means that an obvious reference to the previous chapter in which Job's three friends have come and is sitting there and 7 days have passed and nights and no one's spoken in this 7 day period, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, they all sat quietly with Job and were kind of contemplating the whole situation and musing over and remembering and whatever. And Job begins with curse the day that I died. Curse the day that I was born. Now, perhaps, the commentator said, I like how the commentators are able to see exactly what happened at the moment that Job said this. And it says, Job began to speak and cursed the day he was born. His friends must have startled when Job shattered the silence by speaking, and by saying this about his birth, the day of his birth. Now, I was wondering, his son's daughter, they established at the beginning that they were gathered at a house to celebrate a birthday. Okay, and remember, Job's name, what does it mean? Disaster, bad, something. So perhaps that's where the idea of the meaning of Job's name comes from, is that he is now lamenting the day he was born. Now, again, this does not mean he is cursing God. It just means that he's upset and that he's got so much pain and everything that he thought of value is now gone, and it would have been better for him never to be born, because what has he got left to live for? It's all gone. He's on the trash heap of life, separated from people. He's in pain mentally, physically, spiritually. He's just in anguish all the time. And it says later about, and for food, he doesn't even eat because of all the sorrow and pain and anguish is going on in his life. So Job is extremely distressed and extremely depressed, as it were, at what has happened. Everything that was important to him is gone, so why was I ever born? All right? Now, Job initiates a discussion with his friends that lasts through 37 chapters. Okay, a discussion. In this section of the book, there is about 17 speeches recorded. In these 37 chapters, there's 17 speeches. Some of the discussion does not seem to connect, that's what I was saying when we started, directly to what the others have said. But each of the speeches recorded in these chapters forms a complete presentation, similar to a monologue. So this is the monologue, and it all has to do with, each one has their say. All right. This approach resembles a debate context where individuals develop their case and they are evaluated by others to determine who made the best presentation. Okay? So when we're reading the book of Job, we need to, sometimes it's hard to read the book of Job because it seems like we just have this long discourse. Well, that's okay. That's what's going on. And then you have another person's discourse or response, okay? And then we have, going back and forth in this. At first, it does not appear that Job and his friends were really trying to persuade each other, okay? They're not really in a debate yet, I think. The narrative implies they had an audience listening to their discussion. In a sense, they still have an audience. Ta-da! Us. Listening to the narrative, listening to what's going on, and trying to read into this whole discussion of, I wish I'd never been born. Okay? Thoughts? Do you ever feel like you wish you'd never born? And generally happened after, well, if this would have worked out, it would just certainly made my day, but nothing is working out for me. So what has happened here is, for Job, literally, everything that he had worked for, put together, is all over, and there appears there is no future. Okay? Now, that's where, and Job, well, we'll talk about when we get there. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born. All right? And the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. Isn't that uplifting? So here we are. Wow, I really wanted to come to Sunday school today. Never. So one of the, it says, his anguish had festered along with his cankering sores that covered his body, and his first words he speaks are rifled with pain. So it's, in one sense, you know, when people are in great pain, the first things they talk about are their pain. All right. Again, it goes to great length to say, Job does not curse himself, nor does he curse God. He only curses the day he was born. Job respects God who created him. If Job cursed himself, he would be discrediting the work of his creator. If he cursed God, he would be distrustful. And the sovereign Lord, to God, the sovereign Lord, Job still trusts God, but he is struggling with his understanding. And often that becomes the sense of sorrow, grief, and loss. They're struggling with trying to understand why this has happened. All right? Verse 4, Job states that the day he was born should be darkness. It's like the whole thing should just be swallowed up in darkness, and it should be it's a bad day. The day I was conceived, the day I was born, it's a day of darkness. Going back to the meaning of Job, back in the first lesson, I didn't look that up, just thought of it now. Anybody remember what Job's name means? I think it's important because I think it looks at this day or this time period. Job's name means hated or oppressed. Yeah, let me name my boy's going to be hated. Let me name my boy hatred. So whenever we're saying Job's name means hated or oppressed, I don't, you know. So if, you know, again, at that lesson beginning, he was at some point, you know, they gave him the name hatred. You know, it's just like the family who named their kid Ichabod. God, the Spirit of the Lord has departed. Let me, you know, they were looking at the surroundings and labeling their child by their surroundings. And perhaps that's what this situation is about. But seeing where Job was, hated and oppressed, and where he took his life to, see, going from nothing to perhaps the wealthiest man in the world, okay, so... Yeah. He was the opposite of what everybody thought he would become. Yeah. God's grace is painted on the canvas of despair. So, God, take despair away and let your grace be there. All right. Move on. As for that night, there he's still lamenting. I mean, he is lamenting his birth. Let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the years. He's like, you know, let my birth be stillborn. Let me die at birth. Let me, you know, let it not come to the number of months. Lo, let the night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it, that curse the day who are ready to raise up their mourning. Let the stars of twilight therefore be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day, because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from my eyes. That was the where they got the song on Hee Haw, Gloom, Despair, and Agony on Me. But he has a right to. I'm lightening the moment, but this is who he is. Now, verse 11. He's continuing. Now remember, this is a monologue. Okay. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Or why the breast that I should suck? From now, should I have laid still and been quiet? I should have slept, then had I been at rest with kings and counselors of the earth, which build desolate places for themselves. Or with princes that had gold, who filled their houses with silver, or as the hidden untimely birth I had not been, as infants which never saw the light. So the lamentation of Job continues as he mourns his existence, and as Job pondered his plight, he began to consider the futility of riches, the accumulation of wealth, and the influential people who had died, as if everything, vanity of vanities, and all is vain. And if you can imagine, you know, you look at Tutankhamun, you know, the emperor, the child king, emperor, not child pharaoh, and all the wealth they stuck in the tomb. It's kind of like, what good does it do? You put all this wealth in the tomb, they're still dead. You know, you do all of this work to accomplish and gain, and it all, you know, it passes on to somebody else. Now, Job doesn't have the New Testament. Job doesn't have the teachings of Christ. Job doesn't have the teaching that says that we are to be wise stewards, that everything we possess is a gift from God, and that we are to be stewards of our possessions. Because everything we possess is going to be passed on to somebody else, and everything we possess was somebody else's. So we find that it's a temporary thing. So our possessions are not our own. Our body is not our own. Our life is not our own. We belong to God. So whenever we're seeing how that the focus can change from what I have and how it's all gone, and then we lament, it can be the idea that who I am is a gift from God, and every good and perfect thing is a gift from God, and no matter how dark the night is, there is still light in the darkness. And Job, he says, there the wicked cease from troubling. So when they're all dead, and the righteous are dead, and the wealthy are dead, and their riches are buried with them, the wicked cease from troubling. I mean, even the bad guys get out of life by dying. And there the weary be at rest. Working with individuals that have, you know, long-term illnesses, you know, and it's like, okay, I just want this to be over. I want to be done with the suffering. I want to be done with all of this. I want to die. Well, so that's what he's saying. The weary, even those who have been long-term in this, they're weary rest, they die. There is the prisoner. The prisoner rests together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and the great are there, and the servant is free from his master. So Job's looking at all of this that has happened, and all the pain and suffering he's going through. So one of the things that we are looking at and seeing here is the extreme pain and sorrow that Job is in. You know, it isn't that we are to look at this and say, you know, this is a very depressing book. I think we look at this and say, Job had it very bad, okay? This is not one of those things where we jump in the ash heap with Job and say, woe is me, look at my life. The idea is we look at Job and we see how bad it was for Job, and how that in this darkness, the only thought he had was the idea of death. Okay? Today, you know, like Jesus, you know, come to me all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we have those words of Christ that we come and shore up our life with. The scripture doesn't say we're not going to have difficulties. It just says that we have to have faith. Job had faith going into this, and his faith is what keeps him through it. And his understanding of God is the bottom line here. No one has given Job, there's nothing for him to read. There's no one else for him to counsel him about God. This is just simply what he, who was considered, what was his name again? Oppressed and hated, what he found in his spirit in relationship with God. And it was not like the teachings that were around him. You know? I didn't look this one up, but it just runs in my mind. Job says that the Lord sitteth on the circle of the earth. You know? And the earth, this was 1400 BC. They didn't know the earth was round. You know, back then, some giant guy held the earth on his shoulders, and he was standing on the back of a tortoise, and the tortoise was going through space. That was the science of the time. Job says, the Lord sitteth on the circle of the earth. He saw things from a different perspective. And that's why, for us, we see things from a different perspective, because the Holy Spirit and the Word come together in our life. And we find that But the security of what we know keeps us when we face what we don't know. So we will all have times and difficulties and reasons why things happen the way they do, and we don't know. That's life. He wants to be out of all this sorrow.
Yes, but he wants to be in the presence of the one that he knows.
Mm-hmm. And what he doesn't know, there is a tomorrow. See? When the pain is so great in the present, we forget that there is a tomorrow. See? We can't see tomorrow because we can't see beyond our pain. And people who have taken their life and survived, when I counseled, they would talk about this funnel, and when you got to the edge, it would give way, and you would just start sliding down the sides of this funnel, and the only thing you could do, the only way out was to die. It didn't matter who loved you, didn't love you, didn't matter what you had, what you possessed, it didn't matter anything. All that mattered was to die, and that's a slippery slope. And Job is, you know, he's, as it were, walking around this funnel, and he's not jumping in, but he's saying, it just appears like there's nothing more, you know, because if I die, I'm out of this, okay? But one of the things that I thought was so very interesting, that the commentary did not say. It's in these verses. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter soul. Well, one of the other translations says, so why must light be given to the miserable and life to the bitter spirit? You see, why does light come? You know, I've lost so much, why do I have hope? See? So in our life, no matter what comes, we still have light. Why does the light come to those who have lost everything? I'm bitter. I should die. I want to be out of this, but yet there's light. Put out the light, would you? I want to jump in the hole. Which longeth for death, but it cometh not. I want to die, but I can't. I want to dig dig for it more than for hidden treasures. I want to dig for death. And I want to dig for it more than I've ever dug for a hidden treasure. Which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they come, when they can find the grave. I'm glad when I know I'll be happy when I dig far enough and find death. Why is light given to a man whose way is hidden, whom God hath hedged in? Hello. Remember back at the beginning? Hedged. The devil says, I can't touch him because you've built a hedge about him and I can't get in. And here Job is saying, God has a hedge about me and I can't get out. Yes. Yeah. No, Satan can't kill him. But Job can't kill himself. What a predicament. Right. Right. And the hedge lets us know God is still in control. The devil can't get in at you to take away what you got unless God gives him permission. And you, you can't get out because God has a hedge about you when we think our way out is to dig a hole until we can die. I want to dig a hole until it caves in on me. Okay? I'm going to destroy this life. I'm going to dig a hole and hope it falls in on me. Well, guess what? You can't dig deep enough to get out of the hedge. This is what happens with Job. So I think of it in a perspective. So there is a future. Why does God give a future to those who are surrounded with difficulties? It's because God is able to see us through them. And we all have facing challenges and difficulties and situations, but not to the extent that Job has here, but sometimes they're very close. But the bottom line is God has established a hedge to protect us, and God has established a hedge to keep us. Even whenever we think that there's nothing worth keeping. See, that's why, because Job is looking at this and he's saying, there's nothing worth keeping. Wife's gone, kids are gone, possessions are gone, my reputation is gone, my friends are all gone, but these three guys who are going to rip me apart, everything's gone, so what's the use of going on? So, but God is saying, no, there's a hedge, there's a light. For, verse 24, for my sighing, okay, cometh before I eat. Before he has food, his anguish is so, he's just in despair. And he doesn't want to eat. And his groanings are poured out like water. For the thing which I greatly feared. Now, this is one of those that we have a tendency to misread. Job had a fear of all this happening, and that's why it came to him. Okay, because it says, the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. I dread that something like this would happen to me. Now, one of the things is, In the commendations that God has about Job, God does not say this of Job. You know, it's like, well, I just knew something was going to go wrong. Well, people who always look for the other shoe to fall generally find it. You know, I got one foot on the grave and one on a banana peel. I knew something bad was going to happen. You know, there are people who live with that expectation, and they're constantly looking for it. It's like the guy whose his wife made him get up every night to go down and check the door because there was a robber in the house. And for 28 years, he got up every night and went down to check the the kitchen door because there was a robber in the house. And then one night he got up and went down, and there was a robber. And the robber's trying to run out of the house. He says, "No, no, no, my wife's been waiting 28 years to meet you." Don't go. So did Job ever feel that, what if I lose everything? I think that's a common, you know, that's a thread that may have, you know, everybody is, this is bad, something bad could happen. Yes, something bad could happen. Look at the news. We live in fear. I mean, they create, the next storm that comes could wipe out the entire eastern seaboard. Just watch the Weather Channel to make sure it doesn't happen to you. Yeah. You know, we're going to get snow. You're going to live in the fog. You live on the seaboard, you're going to get storms, and you're going to get hurricanes. And, you know, where are we going to live to avoid all this? Let's see. We'll live in the Midwest. No, you got tornadoes. Let's live in the South. It's too hot. You know, let's live in the far north. You got bugs in winter. I mean, it's like no matter where you live, where can we go that we're not going to find something that makes us uncomfortable? Well, so anyhow, the fear, Job, what this is saying is that Job didn't live in a constant fear of losing everything. If he lived in a constant fear of losing everything, he would have never expanded. When you want to secure people who have things and live in fear, they are the most greedy, selfish people on the planet. Why? Because they have so much that they are afraid of losing it, and they will not give a dime. The wealthy, Jesus, the woman who gave the widow's mite, she just gave a quarter of a penny, gave all that she had, gave more than the rich man who dumped bags of gold in, you know? Because you got the story. So in our life then, Job wasn't living in a hedged-in mentality of scrimping and saving and, you know, putting together wealth, and the guy who, you know, tears down the barns to make bigger barns to store his wealth. That's not Job. So what he's saying about the things which I feared, it's actually saying it may have been a passing thought. It may have been something, but it wasn't God's commentary on Job. It wasn't the devil's commentary on Job. So Job experiences devastating events and severe sickness, yet he still blessed God. If he had, well, he blesses God in the difficulty, and he trusts God. He says, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." So he's still thanking God for where he is at. Now, he doesn't understand where he's at. He doesn't have a fixed compass as to which direction he's going to go. He has no direction. He wants to dig a hole and let it cave in on him. That's the only direction he has. But yet, he can't do that because he is hedged in. So therefore, what I feared came. After being afflicted physically by Satan and enduring extreme pain, he told his wife, "Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" He was still giving God credit for being in control, even though he has lost everything. He's giving God credit for being in control when he gained everything. See, the same attitude we have going in should sustain us the whole way through. God has blessed me. God has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God is my provision. He is my right hand. He is my helper. He is my strength in time of weakness. He is my joy in time of sorrow. He continues to be. No matter what happens, who God is, he continues to be that in our life. And we see that happening with Job. When Job is saying the thing that Job is afraid of, he's afraid that God had turned his back on him. Okay? Job's deep despair results in some doubt and perhaps depression. Job did not lose his faith and trust in God, but his vision became blurred by his circumstances. He couldn't see beyond where he was at. And isn't that what loss does? Loss causes us not to be able to see beyond where we're at. And that's why it's good to just sit down on the ash heap and look where we're at. Know the hand of God that has brought us here, and things have gone away. Blessed be the name of God. I can't see where I'm going, but I trust you, Lord, and I will continue to trust you even though I can't see where I'm going. And that's Job's greatest fear, was that God somehow had, and his friends are going to really push this as they go through their discussion. The only reason this has happened to you is God has gotten even with you, Job. So, and Job is saying, no, that can't be. He's not getting even with me. See? So he understands that. God has blessed me. God has taken away. But that's not the character of God to punish me like this. It's not a punishment. Life is never a punishment. God doesn't sit and punish us, because there is an eternity for us to be, for people to be punished. In this life, he is doing everything to bring us life and light and direction and peace and security and love and guidance and forgiveness and joy and peace. The whole thing is about bringing us closer to God, not about kicking us out. So Job concluded his first speech with his three friends by saying, I have no peace, no quietness, I have no rest, all I have is turmoil. Job poignantly describes his deplorable condition. He has lost the qualities of life that he previously enjoyed, peace, quietness, and rest. So if he was a man living in fear, he couldn't be a man of peace, quietness, and rest. Okay? So he had lost that. So his world is turned upside down. So as we understand Job's despair, we should be able to understand his misery more effectively, and we should be able to be more compassionate towards those who are hurting, that they have a right to their pain. But God is the one who comforts those who mourn. Blessed are the poor spirit, for they shall be filled, and blessed are those that mourn. Yeah, comfort, they shall be comforted. So here we have here that grief due to loss and debilitating health or whatever, we have a reason to bring hope and stability and strength to that moment. Your thoughts on Job as we conclude? We're not concluding Job. We still got him next week. Job's friend's perspective. That's always fun. Yeah, God says, no, it's perfect. No, it's perfect because Job's, what we have or don't have does not determine our relationship with God. What we get or what is taken away from us does not determine our relationship with God. We find that our relationship with God is based upon our spiritual man, and then we find that the spiritual part of us affects the physical part of us with the expectation of God answering prayers and God blessing and God bestowing and, you know, all the good and perfect things that come into our life, that God is going to bless us and we're going to sow good seed, you know. But sowing good seed and the fire comes and destroys the harvest. What do? We plant another harvest. We plant in more seed. You know, it happens. Yeah, that's right. They have to, yeah. But it makes us, again, you know, this whole series of Job helps us to, again, I guess, put a balance to ourselves and to life and to the difficulties of life. And we can't, you know, people who sit in judgment, and that's what we're going to talk about in church, you know, people who sit in judgment of others. Well, you know, if you'd have been better off, if you'd had more faith, if you'd have done this, you know, we have faith and look what we've got. And you don't have much, so you don't have much faith. If God acted that way, the whole world would be, instead of the stock market, we'd all be filled, our churches would be filled with people, because God blesses those who come to church. Amen. Yes. You know, we'll fill them up. The Bible says, you know, and the scripture says, don't call anybody stupid. So we'll find out what that means too. Yeah. Right. Well, there was someone who said they got on some comment and said, keep religion and faith off of the whatever it was, their Facebook or their page, because you want that stuff, go to church. And then the other day there was a message that said, please pass this on because I have blessings that need to come my way. It's like, wait a minute, wait a minute, you know, where's all this faith stuff that you kicked off the planet because you didn't want to hear it? Now you need something, and if you pass this on to 10 people and they pass it on, you will be blessed. So pass this on because I need some good stuff in my life. Hello. You know? But ours, what God is telling us, the scripture is the foundation, the word, the foundation of our life, and you can't dig yourself out of it. The hedge is there. The rock is our foundation. You can't dig through it. You can only stand upon it. Amen? That sounded like a good conclusion, didn't it? Father, thank you for the word that is a light to our path and a rock to our feet and a direction for us, O Lord. So help us in our difficulties to see beyond, see the light that comes to us through Christ and his word. So thank you, Lord, for Job, and thank you for his life, and thank you, Lord, that he had enough faith and understanding in you to be able to live through these difficulties that would give us understanding and strength in our difficulties. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.